Testimonies were given and getting ready to preach tonight that I was thinking about my Bible college. You've heard me tell many stories about the Bible college and Baptist Bible College of Pennsylvania and the great days that we had. But, you know, when you get away from your purpose, when you get away from the Word of God, it's sad what happens. And I used to say, Baptist, where's the Bible college? Because the college no longer stood on the King James Bible as the final authority. And it really never did take a firm stand on that, so it was moved away. But secondly, it was, where's the Baptist college? The college wanted to expand to reach more professions and be a Christian college, but there are colleges already doing that. And so for them to do that, it was a way to financially survive. You know, we can survive financially if we reach out to more, but they didn't have enough professors to do that, and so they were sending the kids to Keystone for classes and so forth, I found out. And so it was Baptist, where's the Bible? Then where's the Baptist college? And now they close their doors. So it's where's the Bible, where's the Baptist, where's the college? Strike out, it's a gone. And they sold the seminary to the Catholics. They bought it all from the Catholics. They sold it to the Catholics. And who knows where the rest of it's going to go. And you know what the key is? You can't serve two masters. We're not trying to stay afloat. We're just trying to fulfill our purpose and do what the Word of God says. And we started last Sunday night to talk about something that I think that you need to resist, because there are people that will try to get you to back down from the Bible. They'll try to get you to back down from biblical standards of living a high standard life. And they try to make you feel like you're unpopular. And they use a word that they point at you to try to make you feel inferior. And that word is, you are a what?
Legalist.
You are a legalist. And I'm here to call anybody down that tries that trash on me. Because you see, the series I'm preaching on is Resist Words for the Birds. And that is a word for the birds. And when you look at that, you find out in the Bible what a legalist is. You see, people think a legalist is somebody that has higher standards of dress than you do. A narrower view of how to live your Christian life than you do. And so you have a higher standard of dress. You have a higher standard of living your life. And they point their finger at you and say, you are a legalist. But that was settled in Acts chapter 15. And we looked at this in verse 1. And I'll read it. It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And so what they were saying is there, except you follow the circumcision and the other rites of the Mosaic law, you cannot be saved. Now they were not saying you haven't accepted Jesus as the Messiah, you are not saved. They're saying you cannot be finally saved. You're not going to wind up in heaven. Your salvation is not complete unless you keep the law of God. So they believed in faith in Christ as the Messiah, but they said you have to add works of the law to it. In this case, the ceremonies of the Mosaic law, or you are not going to be saved. But the Bible says in Colossians 2, 16 and 17, let no man judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. In other words, the ceremonial law of God, the sacrificial law of God, the dietary laws that are part of the Mosaic law, were simply shadows And the substance of it was Christ coming and fulfilling the law and dying for our sins, being buried and rose again, so that we can be saved and live by the standards of the moral law of God. And so he's saying there that these ceremonies do not complete salvation. Christ did those things. He is the substance of our salvation. And so legalism is faith in Christ plus keeping the ceremonies of the law of Moses, adding something to salvation of works of the law. And the Bible says, no, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. By the way, you're not saved when you surrender to Christ. There's a difference between salvation and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I didn't understand surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I understood I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I heard the good news that Christ died on the cross, and he made a way for me to be saved. And I simply looked in faith to Christ. I didn't understand that. I think a lot of people get saved and then they hear about surrender and they think, well, I wasn't saved, but it's just a matter of discipleship. They need to follow Christ. It's not some crisis experience that makes you a sanctified Christian. It's day after day, week after week, following Christ and following the will of God for your life, and you grow in grace. And that's how character is built. If you heard about character, it's built in discipleship. Thank God for camp. Thank God for conferences. But listen, that is not the be-all, end-all. It's day in, day out, and faithfully following Christ. So salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing, and anything you add to that is a form of legalism. That's what makes a legalist. But a legalist is not somebody that follows a higher standard of biblical conviction. So I want to say, resist words for the birds, number one, which are words that call you a legalist if you hold to the moral law of God. Now the Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, what does that mean? I am the Lord, I change not. Well, it means that God is the same. He doesn't change. His character does not change. His nature does not change. God is light. And the Bible says, when you get saved, what does God do in your life? Well, put your finger here in Acts and turn over now to Romans chapter 8. And I want to show you what God does when you get saved and what he does in your life. If you are a born-again Christian, this is what God is doing in your life. And here it is in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, says this, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying that when you get saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is the author of the Word of God. Holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And when you have this book, you have the moral law of God. And what is the moral law of God? It's an expression of God's nature. It's an expression of God's character. And it is how we're to live our lives. But notice it says that is called in Romans chapter 8, the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God, it says, is the righteousness of the law, and it's fulfilled in us. So how do we follow the moral law of God? The Holy Spirit puts in you the desire and the power to walk according to the moral law of God. That is not legalism, my friend. That is the outworking of salvation by grace. The outworking of salvation by grace is that you are to be holy as God is holy. You are to walk righteously as God is righteous. How do you do that? You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. But every believer, you have the power of the Holy Spirit who works in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. He not only gives you the desire to do what God wants you to do, but he gives you the power to do it. And so he shows you in the Word of God what he wants for your life. Somebody has said, what's the will of God for my life? Here's a book right here. Here's a copy of God's will for your life. And you need to understand the will of God by reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, hearing the Word of God preached. And you need to realize if you are born again Christian, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. What? To cause you to live out the standards of the Word of God, the moral law of God in your life, the righteousness of the law of God in your life. That is not legalism. That is holding to the moral law of God and depending on the grace of God to help you to keep that and to follow that. Now, God's words are against certain things in the law of God. And if you look in the book of Leviticus, it talks about practices under the law of God. And they're based on the changeless character of God. And there are certain words that apply only to the Jews, and they have things that apply just to the Jewish people. And then there are other things, listen to me, they apply to the changeless character of God. And you say, well, how can I discern in the Old Testament what just applies to the Jewish people to teach them something about separation that we can use in our life? And what is something I apply in my own life to the changeless character of Almighty God? And let me say this. The New Testament says that we must rightly divide the word of truth. You have to be able to understand by studying the Word of God what is temporary to the Jewish people and what applies to the Jewish people and what is permanent that is part of the moral law of God that applies all the time to every believer. And let me give an example of this in prophecy, rightly dividing. I'm talking about the Word of truth. Put your Bible back to the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah and chapter 61. And I want to give you an illustration. As you're turning there to Isaiah 61, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. I want you to know that this scripture was used by Jesus in the synagogue when he went to his hometown in Nazareth. And Jesus got the book and he's now going to preach a sermon, and he says, go to Isaiah 61, and they turn there, verses 1 and 2. Now follow me as I read it and watch what Jesus did. It goes in verse 1 of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped right there. He sat down, shut the book, and he began to preach to them. They used to preach sitting down in the synagogue. That's what he did. Now, why did he stop right there? Well, if you look at the rest of the verse, verse 2 of Isaiah 61, let me read it. It says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Now, what was he saying there? I am come to fulfill verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, but there are going to be about 2,000 years between the first part of verse 2 and the second part of verse 3. How do I know that? Because the second part of verse 2 of Isaiah 61 is talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about when the Lord comes back the second time, the Lord Jesus, and pours out his wrath and his judgment. And you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. How do you do that? You need to know the scripture. You need to not just take a little verse and philosophize from that verse. No, you need to know the Bible and read the Bible and understand the Bible. And a lot of believers don't do that, and therefore they get caught up in words for the birds, and they get confused on the difference between the ceremonial law of God and the permanent moral law of God. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. Now, let me say something else. As you read the Old Testament, you look at the ceremonial law of God, there are a lot of commandments like rounding off the beard. How many have read that in Leviticus here? You're to not round the corners of your beard. And you say, oh man, how can we do that? Well, that's not meant for you. That's for the Jewish people. In fact, if you divide the laws that are abomination just for the Jewish people alone, and that were for them to teach a permanent truth about separation. Now listen to me. If you divide them into those that were to be abomination for the Jew, God's not saying this is permanent, this is not always an abomination to me as God. But I want this to be an abomination to you. And the reason I want it to be an abomination to you is I want you to be separate from all other people. Now, he didn't mean that to be a permanent thing, that all these things that he made them do were to be abomination to us. It's not sinful to have a beard. It's not sinful to round the corners of your beard. But it was to the Jewish people, because God wanted to teach them to be different. And this is the way he said, I want you to be different. And he was trying to teach them, listen to me, a permanent principle of being separate. You should not be afraid to be separate from other people. But to do that, God said to the Jews, this is the way I want you to do it. And this is to be an abomination to you. It's not necessarily to be an abomination to all people for all time.
Right.
And you need to understand that when you rightly divide the word of truth and find out what is the moral law of God that's permanent in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and what is for the Jewish people for a time for them. And then I want you to see in the Old Testament law of Moses, there are things that are only for the Jews and to be an abomination only to them, to teach them separation. But then also in that same law, right next to these, listen, right next to these verses that are abomination to the Jews, there are verses that are an abomination to whom? To the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. I am the Lord and I what?
Change
not. And there are verses, if you rightly divide even the Old Testament law, that don't apply to the temporary law of the ceremonial shadow, but they apply to the permanent character of God, and they're an expression of the permanent character of God. And there are people that throw the baby out with the bathwater. They say the ceremonial law is fulfilled and Christ is the substance, and therefore we're not under any of those laws. No, we're not, but we're under the Spirit who causes us to live according to the permanent moral law of God. And these things are therefore an abomination to Almighty God. Now let me give you some examples. Go to Leviticus 11. Go to Leviticus 11, and we're going to look at verse 9, and you follow in your copy of God's Word. I encourage you to turn there, Leviticus 11, and go to verse 9. We're going to get some teaching here, and here's what it says. He says, these shall ye eat. Now, who is he talking to? To the Jewish people. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and the rivers, them shall ye eat, and all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, and of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be what?
Abomination.
Unto who?
You.
Are they said to be an abomination unto God? No. But they're to be an abomination to the Jewish people, because God wanted to teach them a lesson through this dietary law to be distinct. Also, it was good for them for that time to eat that, But he says in verse 11, they shall be even an abomination unto who? Unto who? Unto who? Unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. And then verse 12, and notice the repetition, whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination what? Unto you. Now some of you, if you go by that, you're dirty, rotten sinners, because you have eaten things like clams and oysters, squid and whatever else.
Lobster.
And that is an abomination. But it's not an abomination to God. It's not part of the moral law of God. It was something temporary for the Jews that God gave them to teach separation, to be distinct from other people. That's the doctrine that it taught. But it was not permanent. But yet in the same law, you're going to see some things that are an abomination to God, that are part of that which is an abomination to God. And you know what? Let me just show you, and I had it here, an abomination to God, but I don't have the scripture on sodomy being an abomination to God. So I'm going to just try to take a stab at it, huh? Yeah, let's go to Leviticus, go to Leviticus 18. Let's go there, Leviticus 18, and see if we can get it there. Thank you, Matthew, 18:22. Let's go there, and it says there, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Now, is that an abomination to God or to us? That is an abomination to God. God said, I'm the Lord, I change not. If you lie carnally, according to Leviticus 18:22, if you lie carnally with a woman, and you are a woman, that is an abomination. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. If you're a man and you lie with another man as with a woman, then that's an abomination. In other words, what is he saying? Homosexuality is an abomination to God. And it's in the law of God. It's right near these other things that are just for the Jews to teach separation, but it's always an abomination to God. And that is to rightly divide the word of truth. And that doesn't make you a legalist, because you look at the Old Testament and you can determine what is part of the changeless character of God. And is always an abomination to God. And what is part of the temporary ceremonial law for the Jews that was meant to be an abomination to them. See, there are people that tell you you're a legalist if you look at what is an abomination to God in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and you go by that. Let me give you another scripture that goes along with that, and go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Deuteronomy and chapter number 22. Words for the birds. And there are folks that come into a fundamental independent Baptist church and look down at folks and look down at women because they dress like women. And look down at men because they dress like men. And they won't wear women's garments. And I want to just say to you, these are words for the birds to call these people legalists, because they dress like an independent fundamental Baptist should dress. They dress like a Bible believer should dress. You see, you're to be the light of the world. You are to hold up the standard of God. You're to hold up the character and nature of Almighty God. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Why do you think this nation is so screwed up? Why do you think women are now not able to compete in women's sports? Because 6'5" men are going into their sports and breaking their weightlifting records, breaking their swimming records, breaking all their records. But before that, women were breaking principles from God's word. And God's letting it fall on them now. And God's letting it fall on our society now. And I put it right back to these people that give in to these people who say, words for the birds, you're a legalist if you dress like a born-again Christian ought to dress. You're a legalist if you live according to the moral law of God. No, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, He gives you a love for this book. He gives you an understanding so you can rightly divide the ceremonial law from the permanent moral law. That reflects the character of Almighty God. That does not make you a legalist. It means that as you yield to the Spirit of God, He works in you to keep the whole righteousness of the law. I mean, we're so screwed up. And we back down, and Christians back down to these new evangelifishes in our society. And these new evangelifishes are not like the old-time evangelicals. Because the old-time evangelicals, they wouldn't go swimming and women showing their thighs and men even showing their thighs. And I'll preach on this in detail. I'm talking about standards. I'm going to preach on standards on Sunday night. It'll put hair on your chest. It'll cover the hair on your chest. And it's not legalism! You got words for the birds. You need to get in your Bible and practice your Bible like the old evangelicals did, you see. And they did that and they were blessed and they affected the whole country. Because it's very new what's going on right now. It's new and it's new evangelical. And I'm not a new evangelical. I'm an old-time fundamental independent temperamental Baptist. Amen and amen. Now you say, well, you're a legalist. Well, go to Matthew 5. Go to Matthew 5 verse 19. Matthew 5 and verse number 19 tonight. These are the words of the Lord Jesus as He is talking in Matthew and giving us some truth to go by. He says in verse 17, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but fulfill." And we've been talking about that, how He does that. How does He fulfill it? He keeps the law. And He fulfills the ceremonial law and becomes the substance of that and ends the old time sacrifices and is the final sacrifice for our sin and brings in the New Testament and the blessings of it. He fulfills it, but He does not end the moral law of God and the expression of moral law of God. He comes to fulfill it. How? Romans 8, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. How does He do it? He fulfills it by the Spirit in your life. He fulfills it by causing you to live out the moral law of God in your life, not to hide it and cover it up. And then He says in verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And then He says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall what? Teach men so." You see, these folks that break the moral laws of God, when it comes to what's an abomination to God, and they teach men to do it, they shall be called what? Least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, see, you can't teach them unless you practice it yourself, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Lord is saying a person is not necessarily not saved because they don't have the standards of the Word of God that we're going to be preaching on, but they're not going to be great for God. And a church like that is not going to be a great church. A church like that is not going to be a powerful church. I would choose to be a church that follows the old paths and has the old-time religion. And you say, how old? Just as old as this book right here. I am the Lord, I change not. And some of you ladies, you need to throw out your modern culture. And you need to get back to what God's word teaches. And that brings me to the second and last point, and I'll just take about a minute on this, a few minutes, two, three minutes, which are words that call you a legalist if you asked for the old pass. I said last week that we are living in the Laodicean church age. But we don't have to be a Laodicean church.
That's right.
It says right here, go through God's open door, and I have done it. When I saw the way my college was going, when I saw the way that movement was going, my wife and I sat there, and I've talked to her about it, and we said, we're getting out of here. And I chose to hang around Independent Fundamental Baptist. I'm an Independent Fundamental Baptist, and I jumped up. Now, you may be a guy that calls me a legalist, or you may be a guy that thinks you're smarter than me, but I want to tell you, I got more knowledge in my little finger than many of these guys have in their whole body. I've studied this book for many years. And these are words for the bird that they're throwing at you. They are simply Laodicean people. They are people that have caved to the culture. They are people that have given in to the society in which we live. As I've said before, I'll say it again. They're following the world, not the word of God. But they're staying behind the world at a respectable distance, but they're still following the world. They're taking their cues from the world. They're doing a little bit different. Oh, I want to be separate so I can be a little bit different. But as the world goes, so they go. And what a sad thing that is. Sarah and Camille, come on up here. Let's say I represent the Word of God. Let's say I represent the Word of God. And let's say Sarah right here, she is going to represent a Christian that stays with the Word of God. All right? So I'm going to stand right here. And I'm going to stay with the Word of God. Now, Camille, let's say you're a Christian that is going to follow the world, but you're not going to stay right up with the world. All right? So I need somebody that represents the world. How about you, Mr. Bajeski? Ben Bajeski. He represents right here. He's going to stand with me and represent the world. Now, the world is constantly changing, right? And so, Ben, you take a step forward. All right, you take a step back. Now, she's a Christian. Who's she following? She's not following the Word of God. She's following the world. So you take a step forward, Ben. And you take a step back. Ben, you take a step forward. And you take a step. Oh, she's going to fall right off the back, right? And she's going to kill herself. We're not going to let that happen. But you see, this girl right here, she's not moved an inch. Why? Because the Word of God hasn't moved an inch. And you keep following the world, and you're going to fall off. So you need to stay with the Word of God. Thank you very much. That is the thing. I am the Lord. I change not. You keep your eyes in this book, and you stay with preachers that stay with the book.
Amen.
And no matter what happens, they stay with the book. And so resist words for the birds, which are words that call you a legalist if you hold to the moral law of God that doesn't change, and which are words that call you a legalist if you ask for the old paths. And I want you to conclude by going with me to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I saw this verse and I said, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I'm asking you for. And I told my wife, this is what we're going to go for. And I thank God I didn't hang around that crowd that was part of my college. And Karen, you were in that college. And I stepped out of that and I said, I'm going to stay with those that are staying with God. And here's what I asked for. I'm going to challenge some of you to ask for that. Some of you ladies need to ask for that. By the way, it's a sin for ladies to show their thighs. Amen. And you not show your thighs in public. And we'll talk about that. But here's what it says in verse 16 of Jeremiah. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Boy, what's the good way? The old paths. What's the bad way? The newfangled, new evangelicalism. That's the bad way. I decided I want the old time religion. I want the old past. What are the old past? The old ways to dress. The old ways to live. The old standards that are in the moral law of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Word of God, which does not change. It's an abomination to God in the Old and New Testament. And they said, we will not walk therein. But he said, you should ask for those old paths. Boy, I've seen people that wouldn't walk in it. And I say, anybody's welcome in our church. If they want my preaching, there are people that come here and they say, I won't follow this preacher, but I like the way you say it. Well, you're still welcome. Preacher, I will follow it even though I don't believe it. But you believe it, and I'll do it because you believe it, and I'll submit to you. And that's what you're welcome. The other people that say, Pastor, I like the way you preach it. I like the way you believe it, and I believe it too. And thank God for that. And those will be the leaders. And I'm just saying, you're to ask for the old paths. Turn one more scripture, and I'll be done. Deuteronomy 22. We just, I think, looked at this already. Deuteronomy 22. And verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Just like sodomy, so your dress is what helps people to get into sodomy. Why is our culture? You go to California today, you put your kid in a public school, they could do sex change work on your kid without permission from the parent. Did you hear me? In California, in the United States of America. Because I believe God's people need to hold the line.
Yeah.
We need to hold the line. And I can't talk to everybody, but I could talk to my people, this church. And I can say, we're sticking with the old paths. And I encourage you to go that right way. Now, there may be ladies that say, you know what? I have a godly man. I don't see it the way my husband sees it. Well, you know what? You really don't have to. God made men leaders for a reason. Amen? They can see a little bit better. You don't really have to.
Right.
Can your husband see it? Now, if your husband doesn't see it and you see it, thank God, you just do it. But if your husband sees it and you don't see it, you follow your husband. Amen? Because the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife.
Right.
Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. And so thank God for men that lead their families in that good way. And I encourage you men to lead and be an example. And then I encourage you to stand. Don't move. Be steadfast, unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because this doesn't move. And God doesn't move. So maybe we should sing that in closing. I shall not be moved. Amen. If you can find it, amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer and we're going to pray. But I wonder if you'll say, Preacher, if I've been contrary to the standards of the Word of God, I'm going to move back to the Word of God. I'm going to move to the Word of God. But if you've been following the Word of God, you say, Preacher, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand by the grace of God with my conviction. And if you do that, why don't you all stand together? And you need to come to the altar. You come to the altar and make that decision. I shall not be moved. Amen.
I won't break.